Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Tom Baker and Amo. Now, first things first, I have to say, we have, there's an album in my hand, Don Baker and special guests. God bless all the special guests, but God bless Don Baker, who's, what I love about it is, not only is it a very lovely to have a Don Baker album, but to have such a good Don Baker album. That's the thing that I love about this. Don, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you? How
I'm
are you
great,
doing?
Great, thank God, yeah.
It's a gorgeous collection.
Thanks.
They're all very different, which is also something I love about it. Where did you make the album, by the way?
The album's made in Sonic's, a couple of studios, Sonic Studios with Al Cohn.
Right.
And Al's a great guy to work with, a fantastic engineer altogether, yeah. You know. And the Sinead O'Connor track was done with Al. Al was the engineer on that session.
Yes.
And we were just talking there about how Sinead was in the studio. She was absolutely brilliant, you know.
Right.
And we're just talking about our vocals on the track. We used 24 tracks for our vocals.
Really?
Yeah, I just got to write vocals, you know. 24 tracks. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Oh, it is. But the sound is so big.
Yeah, it's
on the track
sound.
As well. This is Cinderella. Is that your song?
Yeah, I wrote it, yeah.
Absolutely. There's quite a number of tracks you wrote in this song that are just fantastic. But let's have a listen. This is Sinead O'Connor with Don. By the way, the album is called Just Don Baker and Special Guests. That's the name of the album. And this is it. What was it like working with her, by the way, Don? How did you get on?
I can't remember exactly how me and Sinead met.
Oh.
I passed her in the cross, I think.
Yeah.
What happened was I wrote a song called Woe to the Holy Vow, and it's an affront to the Catholic Church and
okay.
all the abuse and stuff that happened.
Yes.
And she was mad about the song, and Damien... I can't think of
it. Dempsey?
Damien Dempsey, sorry. Yeah. I must be nervous.
I know three fellas called Damien.
Yeah.
I didn't know what way to go.
So Damien heard it as well. So yeah. The two of them got together and decided to record it.
Lovely.
And then they made a video of it, and they asked me to play the part of the priest in the video, which I did. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, as I say, it's called Woe to the Holy Vow. That was the first thing. And then... She was in the car one day and I played an album for her, and I played that track Cinderella, and she was mad about it. Because the song is about something that's rarely spoken about, love addiction and codependency. You don't hear really much about that topic at all.
No, you don't.
She was, I think she had her share of love addiction and codependency.
She did.
You know?
God bless her.
She knew what she was singing about.
She was a marvel.
So that's really how that came about.
It's a great song. But what I love about the album is that it bounces from one thing to another, which is fantastic. Incidentally, can I ask you a question? You're not a left-handed guitar player, are you not?
No, I'm not, no.
You know, one of the pictures is back to front.
Really, is that right?
Did you not know?
No, I didn't know that.
On the back of the, but unless I'm dreaming, isn't? I'm right. Look there at the back of the CD.
It's
back to front. You can blame the new people. Blame them. That makes it a collector's
it's
item.
It's kind of weird, that really is.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Your guitar playing is. I have always your guitar playing has always and often reminded me you're very close to Mark Knopfler's style.
Yeah, you're the second person. The second person that said that to me.
I may have said that to you a long time ago. Over the years.
I take that as a compliment.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a man who only 2 months ago brought out a brand new album as well.
Brilliant. He's a great player.
He's an incredible player, but as indeed are you. There is a track, this Jordana piece of music.
That came about. I'd written the second tutorial on the harmonica.
Yes.
I was working with a company in London called Music Sales.
Right.
And so the books are doing really well. It was probably the second or third book. I wrote eight and all. And we were in the studio and we were trying to do something in a minor key, something simple, because, you know, it was tutorial.
Yes.
And so that's when I came up with Jordana.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's cinematic. It's like Ennio Morricone. It's like that beautiful, you know. And I could hear Lonesome Boatman. There's an influence.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of music.
But you must be very proud of a piece of music like that.
Well, we recorded. That was first put on an album or record for Sony Records, and Jimmy Smith was in the studio with me. So
guitar player.
Jimmy playing this the non-string guitar, and as far as I remember, Owen O'Neill played bass. Ray Fiend was on drums. I can't really remember anyone else.
It's beautiful, though. It really is.
Yeah.
And a good idea to have it on this. For those who don't know it, you'll know it in future. I'll be playing it all the time. This is Jordana, music from Don Baker.
Thanks,
from the
Mikey.
Album Not At All, my friend Don Baker, and special guests. Mentioned Mark Knopfler, and when I was talking to him about the new album, I said to him about touring, you know, but going out. Yeah. He says, no more tours, that's it. Now, you are younger than Mark Knopfler, but only by a couple of years, and yet you're going out on tour. And but you want to. You still want to go out there and
I do in Ireland, but like there's talk now about me going to Germany in January.
Well, is that because of your new deal?
That's because of that. And God knows where else you want me to go, but you know, I'd be reluctant I don't mind going for a few days to Germany.
Right.
But I wouldn't do weeks, like I wouldn't do weeks on the road. There's no way I'd do that.
No.
No, I mean, it's like, I'm more laid back these days, and when I was younger, everything was a mystery.
Yeah,
like,
I know, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but like, I've done the books, I've done the movies, I've done the albums, I've done radio, I've done television, I've done, God knows, I've done it all.
Yes.
You know, and that's just because of my age.
I understand.
It's not that I'm any great shakes or anything.
But you're fine, fit, happy and well, though, aren't you?
Like,
you're
great,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look $1 million, so it's just that you feel, I don't want to do it.
No, because, like, you know, it gets to the stage after all the years. I mean, we're talking for 55 years now. You know, one stage is the same as the next.
Right.
So, you know, it gets...
But it's not the smell of the crowd doesn't necessarily...
Yeah, look, I mean, I love performing. Yeah. I really do. And and that's the part of the whole thing.
Yes.
That when you're on stage, to be in the moment... And that's where it's at, really.
Right.
And if you can get into the zone while you're on stage, that's even better.
But you are going to do a tour here.
That's right, it's not
next year, obviously, but but you're talking Wexford and Naas and Nina and Castlebar, the pavilion down the road here in Dunleary, and you're also going to be playing in Whelan. So you have a number of dates, so you're doing all those dates.
Yeah.
But it's the idea going away.
That's right, yeah, abroad.
As the fellow says, as the joke goes, are you a bad traveller? Do you not like travelling as well? Is that the other part of it? Or home board? Or
I like travelling when we're going for leisure. Pleasure. Not going to work.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
You know, you have to remember, Marty, like in the 70s and 80s, I've done nothing but travel across Europe.
Yes, you see.
You know, I used to go around with my guitar and my harmonicas, and I had a backpack, and I wore nothing but denim clothes, denim jeans, denim shirt, denim jacket, so I'd have a spare. I didn't have a spare denim jacket, but I had a spare denim jeans and a denim shirt. And every couple of days, I'd go to a laundrette, whatever town I was in, take off the dirty ones in the toilet, put on the clean ones, throw the dirty ones in the wash, and then get them dried. And that's how we survived, like, you know.
Isn't
that
funny?
One pair of cowboy boots and three or four pairs of socks.
That's just,
you know,
mad.
A razor and, you know, to shave and toilets and all that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, you know.
Like you and Francis Rossi, by the sound of things.
Yeah.
Because that's that look. The double denim, isn't that what they call it?
Double denim.
Listen, talk to me about the great Finbar Fury on this album. That's a heck of a track, too.
Yeah, that song's called The Little Rock and Roll Band.
Yeah.
I don't know when I wrote that, but obviously I wrote it some stage, but I can't remember when.
Yeah.
And Finbar heard and thought it was brilliant, you know, and so we came into the studio and recorded it, you know.
What I love about it is he almost sounds like he's just strolling through something, that he just kind of turned up.
Yeah.
You know,
well, he's like that. But he's got his own album out at the moment, Finbar has.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic album.
He sat there just like you were, and you'd listen to him, and the way I would with you, you could listen to him for hours. Like, he's just...
That's right, yeah.
He's lovely company.
He's
you
great
know?
Company.
And he's good, too.
I go over to him every other week. We have coffee, and he comes over to... I have him spoiled now down at the hotel. I tell him, your money's no good. He loves that. You know, so he can go up and order a pint, and he doesn't have to pay for it.
That's a novelty. Absolutely novelty. Let's have a listen to it, then, because I just think it's gorgeous as well. Little Rock and Roll Band, which is Finbar Fury and Don.
It's me playing guitar on the track.
It surely is.
I love
is. It's gorgeous. The album, by the way, is Don Becker and special guests. I'm knocked out by the quality of this. I know you made it here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, you've written stuff on it. You've taken one of my favourite songs, which I haven't played for years. I used to play it a fair bit. Magnolia, J.J. Cale.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's a great piece of work. You never hear it.
Yeah.
Not one of your favourites, obviously.
Yeah, one of my favourite J.J. Cale.
Really,
that and The Breeze.
Yeah.
And there's another track I really... I liked all J.J. Cale's stuff, but there's a song called Lies, Lies, Lies. That's a great groove in that one.
Did you ever hear of a song called Cajun Moon?
Oh, brilliant.
It's only 2 minutes long. It's ridiculous.
I know, yeah.
And it's absolutely gorgeous.
I think it's only two
as well. It's crazy. Yeah, you know? And yet it sounds busy,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Now, the other person, obviously, we must mention is the great Christy Dignam.
Christy.
Poor elder Christy, God rest him. And this is your song as well, Rain on the Wind.
Yeah, well, look, long history, me and Christy. When they started out, again, I don't remember quite how we were introduced to each other, how we met.
Yeah.
But they would have been about 17. I was about 34 at the time. And I was like, had the song Wounded in You was a hit. So I was doing 4 or 5 nights a week on the road and just starting a young family. And Aslan were just starting out. As I said, you were only 17, and I'd have like Monday and Tuesday off.
Yeah.
And so I'd get a popcorn and then them days it was a video. I got a couple of videos and planked my ass in the couch. Yeah, and the phone would ring and it'd be Christy. Don, we're doing a gig now, can you come down? And please, Don. Okay.
Yeah.
And I go down, and so this one, then I start rehearse with them. They had a pigsty out at Dublin Airport where they'd rehearse. There was electricity in the pigsty.
You're not serious?
No, I am, yeah.
A pigsty?
Yeah. But they were really dedicated. Like a van would pick them up in the morning, drop them off the pigsty. They'd rehearse there all day. And so we rehearsed there, and then I'd done some gigs with them, and then it was just too much for me, so I got Billy McGuinness harmonica. Said, you learn to play this.
Okay, yes, yeah, yeah.
Because I just don't have the time. But we stayed friends all through the years, and then I think Rain of the Wind, we recorded it. Well, the version you're hearing now on the album was recorded live at the Olympia years later, but we'd done a single of it, and the single... I have a copy of it.
As in 7-inch vinyl?
The 45.
Yeah, 45.
Yeah. So we have it in our hotel. We have it in the bar. It's up on the wall.
Oh, fab.
And in a glass case.
Yeah.
And the guy that got it, he told me he paid 250 quid for it at some shop down on the Quays in Dublin.
Did he give it to you as a gift?
Yeah, he gave it to me for a present.
What a lovely thing. Where is the hotel? Where is it?
Trim, where I live in Trim.
Yeah.
It's called Brogan's Hotel, and it's great. Like, we've got I'm in a great place in life at the moment.
Yeah,
we've got a venue upstairs, holds about 200 people. So we've had a Paul Brady's play there, Bagatelle, when Liam was alive, Rod Wrestling.
I dressed him, yeah.
And Christy, of course, play there. Finbar's play there. The Four of Us play there. The Hot House Flowers have played there. Eleanor McAvoy, my favourite songwriter of all time, played there.
Yeah.
Loads.
Isn't it amazing when you think about the beginnings and all you've been through, and the story is well documented, and we've covered it here, you and I, and mm-hmm. you've done it obviously elsewhere. Isn't it amazing that you've come to this place now? It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
No wonder you don't want to go away.
Well, I think, I always say I took the road less travelled, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, quit drinking. Went to my AA meetings, went to therapy, said, I'm going to get my life together. And I'm someone who very, very much healed themselves.
Yes.
And so now, like, I've a lot of peace in my life now, and I'm very protective of my peace.
Thank God, yes.
I wouldn't anyone or anything take it away.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting back to talking about travelling in Europe, like, that would take my peace away, and I'm not doing that.
You better not tell Barry Gaster now if you're going to travel. And the other thing about this is, too, it says a lot about your resilience and the fact that you had a... You obviously have great strength inside you. Do you know what I mean? Because you can fight adversity, and for many people they can fight it for so long, and then suddenly you can't keep going. But you do, and you did, and that's the trick, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, like when we talk about spirituality, like for me, it's very simple. Spirituality is the same as evolution.
Mm.
It just means a path to the truth. And that's all it is, you know. And no, it's not the truth about the government or my next-door neighbour or my wife or my brother or my sister. It's the truth about myself.
Yeah.
You know, and like I grew up, I was born in 1950, and, you know, I'll say very quickly, there's five natural emotions. There's love and fear, obviously, hate, envy, and grief. And all those emotions, I wasn't allowed to feel any of them growing up, especially grief. So everything was bottled and bottled, and fear and anger, everything bottled, bottled. So you get to, like, teenage years, and you're rebelling, you know, you become an adult, and you don't know how to deal with emotion. You don't know which end is up, you know, so... You know, not being able to feel fear as a child will cause you to have panic attacks later on in life. And so, like, I had to learn about all this stuff and negotiate my way through life and deal with all these pent-up emotions.
Sure.
And, of course, like, I didn't know when I drank that it was a medication.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I wasn't conscious of that. But in actual fact, that's what was going on. You know, I just couldn't deal with emotion. And so I had to learn the parents myself all over again.
Yes, exactly.
And it was a long road, but, like, I've done it now, and it's all in the past. And I'm in a fantastic place today.
It's wonderful. And may I say, and I've said it when I saw you coming through, you're looking tremendous. You're looking healthy and well.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That you can feel this inside, but outside people would say, just Don Begg, he looks great, even if he is a left-handed guitarist on the inside of your CD, whatever that's about. That's very strange. Now, we were talking about Christy. Here is here's that track now. This is Rain on the Wind.
Rain on the Wind.
Rain on the Wind. Don Becker, the one thing I haven't played is the single, which is it's Creole Bell. This is an old piece of music.
Yeah.
Where did you hear it? Where did you just know it anyway?
Well, we started it all them years ago playing guitar. Mississippi John Hurt was someone that I listened to a lot, played a lot of his tunes.
But you've obviously listened to a lot of that music.
it was him.
Yeah.
Obviously Robert Johnson, Big Bill Brunsey.
Yeah.
Scrapper Blackwell, Reverend Gary Davis, there's loads of them, you know.
Yeah, huge. And did you get them? Did you collect them on vinyl and stuff?
Yeah.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
I mean, we had to order the albums in them days, you know, and wait for weeks and weeks before you got them, you know, from America.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mississippi John Hurt was someone I listened to a lot, and that was one of the songs he did. There was only one verse, "My Creole Belle, I love her well, my darling baby, my Creole Belle," and that was it. So it was just nothing in it. So I wrote all the verses, you know, I wrote myself, you know.
Now, "My Creole Belle," but like, is that that copyright? Is that still in copyright? You're able to do that to add lyrics to something because it's a traditional piece, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think there's.
It wouldn't be copyright then.
Public domain comes in,
I think, after
50 years or something.
That's right. So it's that far back.
Yeah, and beyond.
And then you have the freedom to do this. And did you arrange it as well?
Yes, I did, yes.
It's fabulous. It's a gorgeous piece of music.
Yeah, and it's me playing the guitar and the harmonica.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And you're playing as well as that.
After all these years, people don't know I play guitar.
I know.
You know,
they still think it's
they
harmonica.
Come to a gig and say, but we didn't know you played guitar.
But you're a very fine guitar player. I mean, I've witnessed you live and over the years. But you're right, people don't necessarily get it. They must be shocked when they see it. Because they expect someone else to be doing it behind you. Yeah. I just play the harmonica, sings a few bits, he's grand.
Yeah.
This is Creole Bell. Don, it's always a pleasure. I love your company and thank you so much for coming in. I don't think you're going to get away with not going to Germany, but that's between you and him. I know you. Keep the faith and God bless you.
Thank you, Mark.
Take care, my friend. Here it is. This is traditionally arranged by Don. It's Creole Babe. Here it is. Creole Bell.